107 this morning, please. Psalm 107. Title of the message this morning, What's Wrong with Thanksgiving? Psalm 107. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right hand, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The psalm deals with the nation of Israel and recapping some of their history and showing how God has worked in their behalf, the things that He's done for them. And he repeats this thing about, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works for the children of men, several times in this. And each time then there's the verse follows kind of recaps what he's been talking about. The first one here, verse 9, For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 15, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Historically, this is about Israel. But a spiritual application of this could be applied to us. And this one about our salvation. And in trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's what He's done for us. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Freed us from the shackles of sin that bound us before we were saved. But look down now at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And then verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Thanksgiving. Something that God expects of us. This past Monday, as the press secretary for President Trump, Sarah Sanders, gave their final press briefing before the Thanksgiving holiday, she prefaced it by speaking of things she was thankful for. And then, before she turned to ask the reporters questions or allow them to ask her questions, she said, before you can ask a question, I want you to tell me something that you are thankful for. Most of them complied. A couple refused, and there were a few that gave some snarky answers to her request. But this simple little act suddenly became a political football. And heads exploded across the media. They were pretty upset about this for some reason. One columnist called it a humiliating and degrading experience. You know, it's so sad that a segment of our population objects to the giving of thanks. But the fact is, it's there. The left seems to despise Thanksgiving. And I can understand it in some sense, but because when you really dig into the history of Thanksgiving and you find out all that's there, I mean, we've gotten some of the story, but there's parts of it that is left out. Yes, the pilgrims came here, and half of them died in the first year, and they had difficulties that first year getting crops and so forth. And then a man named Squanto, an Indian, came and helped them, taught them how to properly plant their seed and so forth. And they had eventually had a very abundant harvest. But the part of the story that's often missing is that, number one, they prayed to God because they'd suffered drought. And number two, actually, initially, they set up a communist system here. Everything was to be communal. They all raised the seed, and then they put it in a storehouse, and then it was doled out to them according to their needs. And it didn't work. It wasn't until they instituted a capitalistic mentality where you could gain something from your labors as well as contributing to the help of the whole, that then the thing began to become successful. And then they had that first Thanksgiving feast. So it's understandable that the left would want to do away with Thanksgiving because it really undermines a lot of what they stand for. There was a article in the GQ magazine that was entitled "The Case for Ruining Thanksgiving." The article urged readers to punish their parents for voting for Trump by insults, rants, or even just completely staying away from the holiday. Chuck Schumer prepared a chart and encouraged people to argue about tax reform with their conservative family during the Thanksgiving dinner. For many on the left, this resentment has replaced gratitude. That seems to be their crowning virtue, resentment. Thanksgiving is the antithesis, therefore, it's got to be destroyed. The family argument, see, is not just an unfortunate side effect. That's the goal. To disrupt, to disturb, to anger. America is viewed as the most unjust place in the world. These social justice warriors are fighting for the masses to get their fair share, while not wanting to contribute their fair share. The mindset is a result of an entitlement mentality. I deserve. I'm owed. You got to give to me. Resentment, the crowning virtue of this, the underlying root of that, is selfishness. Keep your finger here in Psalms and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Nate was in here in Sunday school class. In fact, a lot of what he said this morning in Sunday school goes right along with the thrust of my message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I believe we're in those last days. I don't know how much longer is left, but I don't believe there's a lot of time left. I think things are going to start falling apart. The Antichrist is soon going to come onto the scene. The church is going to be taken out of here, and all hell is going to break loose on this earth. The last days. He says, perilous times shall come. But now look how he describes this. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." And in the midst of all this, he says, "unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." like a simple request to state something you're thankful for. Turned her into a target. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Paul's talking about the development of things here and people that have rejected God. And he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Again, that unthankfulness coming out there. And you know, it's easy for us to look at this thing that unfolded Monday and many other things taking place in our society that are examples of that. And I understand, folks, there's a lot of people that are not unthankful. There are a lot of people that are grateful. There's still people that if you hold the door for them, they'll say thank you as they walk through. There's some that don't. You just like to let it slam in their face. But but there's a mix. I'm not sure how to weigh the percentages, but I would say a lot of people are still thankful. But it's easy for us to look at this and see the ingratitude that is so much a part of our society and condemn it. The rude, immature behavior of many people. But how often are we guilty of the same thing? Ingratitude. That was Israel's problem. I mean, God chose the nation of Israel. He looked down and he saw Abraham and he says, I can use that man. I know what he's going to do. I know he'll lead his children right. I know he'll be obedient to me. And God called Abraham out of idolatry, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, away from his home and family, and gave him the land of Israel. He says, this is yours. And it's going to be for your seed after you to inherit and to inhabit. And I'm going to build from you, Abraham, a great and mighty nation that's going to influence the world and that all the world is going to look to. And then God, through the years, took care of that nation and nurtured them and protected them. Yes, they went down in Egypt and spent 430 years in bondage there. But then he brought them out and brought them through the wilderness. And as his Psalm 107 recaps some of those things, Israel was ungrateful. While wandering in the wilderness with shoes that didn't wear out and clothes that endured the entire 40 years and providing that manna every day for them to eat, protecting them and giving them everything that they need, they soon began to grumble and gripe and complain and murmur. Oh, let us go back to Egypt. I want some leeks and garlic. I'm tired of this light bread every day. And that complaining nature is part of our makeup. Because no matter how good things might be, we always think it could be better. And we soon become just like those that we condemn. How often do we grumble about our circumstances? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul wrote that from prison. He says, I'm content here. I accept this as the plan and purpose of God for my life. Do you ever feel cheated because you didn't receive what you expected? Do you ever believe you deserve better than what you've received? Look at Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 13. Ezra, the people of Israel have gone back into the land after the Babylonian captivity. They're rebuilding the temple. There, as Nate was speaking about in the book of Haggai, rebuilding the walls around the city that had been destroyed when the Babylonians conquered them. And Ezra is leading the charge in getting the temple rebuilt here. In verse 13, he says this: "After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this." Do you realize that God doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve? Because God's merciful. Because if I got what I deserved right now from God, this floor, the earth would open up and take me straight to hell. That's what I deserve. I deserve nothing better than that. But God in His mercy provided the gift of salvation. And by my receiving that, not only did He forgive me of my sins and deliver me from an eternity in hell, He made me His child. And He's given me so many blessings, none of which am I deserving of. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to His mercy, and according to our iniquities. But yet we still complain, don't we? And gripe and grumble and murmur and fuss and stew and pitch our little fits. Because I deserve better." No, you don't. No, I don't. And as bad as your circumstance might be right now, you don't deserve better from God. God's given to us far more than any of us deserves. So let's think about this idea of thanksgiving for the next few moments. First, I want you to think about this. Thanksgiving recalibrates my attitude. You know, I'm not sure about now with all the digital stuff that they've got and everything, but you know, back when they used to use instruments, less advanced instruments for measuring voltage and amps and ohms and so forth, you had to calibrate that thing before you started using it. You had to make sure it was on zero so that it wouldn't throw your measurements off. You know what? That's what Thanksgiving does for us. Help us to get back where we need to be from a proper perspective on things so everything else doesn't get thrown off. Thanksgiving recalibrates my attitude. When we're unthankful and become discontent, we become discontent, we become bitter, we become angry, and we become resentful. I mean, you ever been around somebody like that? That, you know, Pigpen in the Peanuts comic there, you know, that cloud of dirt and dust that travels around wherever he goes. You know, soap and water and change of clothes would do a lot of good, you know, that clear him up. But there's some people that have that same cloud of doom and gloom around them that soap and water won't touch. And everywhere they go, and everything's wrong, and everything's terrible, and everything's falling apart. No, it's just, nothing is ever right. Isn't it a joy to be around somebody like that? They need to be recalibrated. Sometimes, you know how you used to. That's kind of what they need first, just to get them set right. There's a story about this guy that he comes to work, you know, and every day at lunchtime, he'd open his lunchbox. Oh, no. bologna sandwiches again. Ah, and this one coworker, you know, he listened to this thing on and on and on every day. Same thing. Oh, no, a bologna sandwich again. And finally the guy says, why don't you ask your wife to fix you something different for lunch? He says, I make my own lunch. That's the way some people are. But sometimes we're all like that. And we need to be recalibrated. See, the Bible talks about this old nature that we have. Before you're saved, you're controlled by that resentful, bitter, angry spirit. That's what you are. But when you get saved, when Jesus Christ takes away your sins and places the Holy Ghost inside of you, you've now got a new nature. And I'm to put to death that old nature. I'm to put those things off of that old nature. And ingratitude is one of the things I need to put off. See, this is a decision, folks. I am not going to allow things to put me down. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to live with God for eternity. And in the meantime, I've got a loving heavenly Father that cares about me and desires what's best for me. Maybe not always what I think is best, but just like a parent with a child. Sometimes the kids don't like it, but in the long run, when they get later on, when they grow up a little bit, they understand, well, they kind of had an idea what they were doing, didn't they? God knows. God knows the beginning from the end. And the things that he allows into my life, the things that he allows to happen to me, are for a purpose. Now, sometimes it's taken us to the woodshed. But sometimes it's preparing us for something greater that God has for us. And when we resist and gripe and grumble and complain about that, we're resisting, griping, and grumbling and complaining about the will of God in my life. We need to put that old nature away. You know, the song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. Anybody that didn't eat this morning before you came? If you did, it was by choice. I don't think there's anybody here that didn't have food they could have eaten before they came. Now, if you didn't get up in time, that's another story. Y'all warm this morning, aren't you? We're free to meet here without worrying about somebody coming in with arrest us for meeting like this. God's good. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Back there at Psalm 107, look at verse 8 again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's been 42 years since I've been saved, but I remember what it was like before. I remember the thirst in my soul, the longing, the knowing that something was missing in my life. And from a world standpoint, I was in good shape. 23 years old, I had a full-time job, I owned my own place, going up in the company. I was in good shape from a world standpoint. But there was something missing here. Something that co-worker of mine had. That I could watch him through all kinds of adversity, through persecution, harassment. He just took it unfluffed. said, man, that guy's got something I don't have, but I think it's something I want. God satisfies the hungry soul with goodness. God's been so good these 42 years. He satisfies my soul. He's broken the bars and gates. Freed me from the shackles of sin. Now, I'm not saying I don't sin. I do. But it's because I choose to now. I had no choice before. God freed me from that thing. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That thanksgiving is a part of that. Look at Psalm 95, verse 2. Psalm 95, 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto God, the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Thanksgiving recalibrates. You see, it's not just a passive response. It's a transforming action. I mean, you know, that it borders on, I know that this borders on the power of positive thinking, which I don't agree with that whole concept, because it's more man-centered than it is God-centered. But it's based upon, that whole wrong philosophy is based upon a biblical truth. I'm to set my affection on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I'm to begin to be thankful for what the God that I serve, to come into His presence with thanksgiving, setting the tone of my prayer. Every prayer ought to begin that way. Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Thank You, God, for the health that I enjoy, the freedom that I have in this country. And just count the blessings to see what God has done, to recalibrate your attitude, and for that transforming action to take place. I was talking to some people Wednesday night. Kids tend to disrupt our attitude, don't they? And the thing is, and I'm as guilty or more so of anybody about this, but a lot of times when our kids are causing us some problem about some little thing, that's all we see. We're upset because this child did this or didn't do that or whatever the case may be. And all of our focus is upon that. And we miss the whole picture. That while in this moment right now, I want to kill him, overall, the kid's worth having a few more years of life. And we need to step back and see what God's doing, what God has done. Because we were that kid one day whose parents wanted to kill. And they didn't. Someone said grandchildren are a reward for not killing our children. Get the big picture. recalibrate your attitude. Number two, thanksgiving is an essential part of prayer. Look at, again, Psalm 107, verse 21. Psalm 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's confusing to me. Because I always think of a sacrifice as something of value. Something that's not easy necessarily to do. I mean, you think about the Old Testament. When they brought a sacrifice, it cost them. They had to take a lamb or other animal from their flocks or herds, or to bring some of their stores from their crops. It cost something. Sacrifice. But he calls thanksgiving a sacrifice. But you know, as easy as it is to do, sometimes we find it hard to do. This thanksgiving is an essential part of our prayer. We read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make a request to be known unto God. Look at Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's an essential part of our prayer. Thirdly, this. Thanksgiving ought to always be on our lips. I alluded to this earlier, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, some of the shortest verses in the Bible sometimes are the most significant. It says, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Then look at verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm to give thanks in everything. I suppose that's where that sacrifice comes in. Because sometimes I don't want to. Why is the car 120 miles away from me and it won't start? Okay, Lord. You know, we'll pray about that, but do you give thanks? See, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, it's easy when some huge blessing comes, isn't it? But when the opposite happens, I'm still to give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord when things are going my way. Now, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Keep your finger here. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Continually, and once again, it's called a sacrifice. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. That's a command. We're commanded to take this attitude, this transforming action in our lives. It changes your outlook, folks. Look at Psalm 33 in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. And chapter 50 and verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation right will I show the salvation of God. My purpose in existing is to glorify God. That is my sole purpose for existing. To give glory and honor to him. Paul says, I don't care whether it's life or death. I just want God glorified in me. He said, I'm ready to be offered. Take me, God. Use me any way that you want. And he's the one that said most of these verses about in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be ye thankful. Just try it this week. Just try putting that into practice. And see if that doesn't change your perspective on things. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, this certainly is not a subject that I have a handle on. I can gripe and complain, can complain with the best of them. Help me, God, to be more thankful. And help your people to do the same. That you would be glorified in our lives. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you as their Savior, may they understand just how much you love and care for them. And the great sacrifice that you made for them to be delivered from an eternity in hell. That you don't give us what we deserve. But in your grace, you give us so much more than what we deserve. Help us to be thankful for those things, Father. Help us. Any that know you not as Savior, to understand those things and to be willing to come to you to receive your gift of salvation. Move in hearts to this day according to your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.